Good evening, everyone. As I thought about what to speak about this week, I felt drawn to this passage. And later that evening, Orwin spoke on the battle being the Lord's. And I just feel like in this season, the Lord is really calling us as a church to be strong in him, to be strong in his mighty power, to live lives of victory in him. Our passage today starts with the words, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." So I'm going to start by asking you guys a question, which is, where do you get your strength from? So if you want to get in groups of two or three and ask each other, where do you get your strength from? Cool. Does anyone want to share where do you get your strength from? Any thoughts?
For Jesus. That if you're doing something where you really know you need the Lord's help, that then you really seek him for strength. You know, if you're under pressure and maybe there's a crisis or there's a big thing going on. And that sometimes when I can sort of do it within my own capacity, that's not so good, and I don't press into him in the same way. Don't know if that doesn't quite answer your question, but
anything else? Yeah, that's brilliant. Your answers are very holy. I was thinking more of food and sleep and time with friends, whatever. But yes, all brilliant answers. Thank you. And some of those we'll touch on later. So there are lots of things that can give us strength on this earth, like food and sleep. But it is only by being strong in the Lord that we can stand against evil, which is why Paul goes on to say, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." As Orwin spoke about last week, we have an enemy who is scheming against God's people. But the good news is that God has given us armor to stand against evil. He's given us all we need to live in victory. Paul then says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And Paul is clarifying here the kind of battle that we're in. It's not a physical battle, and it isn't against people, but it's a spiritual battle. And I think sometimes this can be hard for us to understand, because in Western society, we're often, I think, quite blind to the spiritual realm. Everything is quite consumeristic and focused on physical things, whereas often in areas that are poorer, people are more aware of the spiritual realm. The truth is that the spiritual realm is just as real as the physical realm and is equally, if not more, important than it. Realizing this will help us in our lives to not blame all our problems on people, on the insurance company or the bad driver next to us or our boss. It's important that we don't fight people, but we fight the spiritual forces of darkness. Because of humans allowing sin into the world, there are like demonic forces that are active all around us. But the good news is that we are on the victorious side, so the devil no longer has any hold over us. Just before his ascension, Jesus said, "All authority in earth and on heaven has been given to me." It's amazing. Should we just repeat that little verse? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." How much authority does that give to anyone else? I love what Pastor Bill Johnson says. "If Jesus has all authority, then the devil has none." Once we learn to armor ourselves and use the authority that Jesus has given us, we can live victorious lives and bring Jesus's kingdom on this earth rather than the devil's rule and reign. Paul goes on to say, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. The truth is that we live in evil days, when the fear of God and in his word is in decline. Many people are going through their lives not realizing that there's judgment coming and that they need saving. So now is the time for us to armor up and to gain spiritual ground in this land. The next verse says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So, basically, just before we go on to this, Paul just goes through different ways that we can armor up against the enemy. He shows us how we can equip ourselves to fight this spiritual battle. And the reason why he starts with the belt of truth is because one of the primary characteristics of the devil is that he is a liar. We must therefore protect ourselves with God's truth. It's interesting that the devil's first remarks in both the Old Testament and the New Testament are lies. The first thing he says to Jesus is, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. The devil is questioning what it means for Jesus to be God's son. We can live secure in the knowledge that we are God's dearly beloved sons and daughters. Jesus fights the devil back by quoting scripture. By meditating on God's truth in the Bible, we can combat the enemy's lies. We can know that we are dearly loved, that we are God's sons and daughters. For me personally, spending time with Jesus, like Sam was saying, is an absolute lifesaver. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if Jesus is the truth, when we spend time with him, we are spending time with truth. And that's when the lies of the enemy just go away, because we can know how Jesus sees us, like we were singing, that he's our friend, that he loves us. And Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we hold to the truth of Jesus' teachings in the Bible, we can live free from any lies. And we can also bring truth to people who are believing lies about themselves, which is amazing. So, that's the first one, the belt of truth. The next one, stand with the breastplate of righteousness fitted in place. Often we think of righteousness as like an unattainable goal that only certain people can reach. But this isn't true. Paul said in his letter to the Romans, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This righteousness is given for all who believe, not for some who believe, but for all who believe. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all our sins away for our forgiveness. But it wasn't just for our forgiveness. It was also so that we could be given his righteousness. Through through the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in us, we can literally put on the righteousness of Jesus every day, which is amazing. So every day we can put on this breastplate of righteousness, which will protect our heart from any contaminating sin. So, second one, breastplate of righteousness. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I love this verse because it emphasized that our gospel, and gospel basically means good news, our good news is one of peace. The good news that we can wear on our feet wherever we go is that Jesus died so that we could have peace with God. And I encourage you, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, if you've never received your peace, I encourage you to put your faith in him tonight, and you can receive that. The enemy aims to rob us of peace, but the Bible promises peace to us again and again. And just two examples, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And he also says, the punishment that brought, in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The message from the Bible is clear, that Jesus died to give us peace through his Spirit living in us. And it is this peace which arms us ready for spiritual warfare. And this was certainly my experience in my first year of uni. I didn't have very peaceful circumstances in many ways. I lived in a flat where there were a lot of issues going on with like abuse, and it was quite hard. And as well as everything that comes with moving away from home and feeling lonely and things like that. And I would just go on walks with Jesus and just know this deep peace in my heart. And when I knew that peace, I just had so much freedom in everything that I was doing in other areas of life. So if we just read this quote, which I think sums this up quite well. And it's quite a long quote, so don't worry if you don't quite take it all in. But I just love this. A biblical scholar called McLaren says, "The peace that comes from friendship with him, the peace that fills a heart tranquil because it is satisfied, the peace that soothes a conscience emptied of all poison and robbed of all its sting, the peace that abides because on all the horizon in front of us, nothing can be seen that we need to be afraid of. That peace is the peace which the gospel brings, and it is realized in warfare, and it is consistent with it. All the armies of the world may camp round the fortress. To the worshippers there, none of the noise ever penetrates. The gospel which laps us in peace and puts it in our hearts makes us soldiers." All around us, people are robbed by peace because of the worries of this world. So why don't we be bringers of the gospel of peace to them? Let's share the peace of God all around us. So, number one, belt of truth. Number two, breastplate of righteousness. Number three, the shoes of the gospel of peace. Number four, the shield of faith. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Often the devil will try to throw stuff at us. It might be a lie, a horrible thought that comes out of nowhere, or a discouragement or a bad circumstance. The shield of faith is what combats this rubbish. Jesus often commended faith. In the Gospel of Luke, we see a story of a centurion whose servant was ill and about to die. This could be seen as a flaming arrow of the evil one. The centurion boldly declared to Jesus, "But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, come, and he comes." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. It's amazing that our faith defends us from any of the flaming arrows of the devil. Jesus said that faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. So let's just offer Jesus all the faith that we have, however small, and we will be protected. The other night I was struggling a bit with temptation, and I just started repeating the words, "I have faith in you, Father. I have faith in you, Father. I have faith in you, Father." And as long as I repeated these words, the temptation left. The truth is that the devil cannot stand our faith in God. So let's keep the shield of faith firmly fixed in our hands. Let's have faith in God, whatever's going on. Next one is the helmet of salvation. Often the devil tries to throw condemnation and fear at us. And I think all of us have struggled with feeling either guilty or afraid. But when we put the helmet of salvation on, we can protect our minds from this stuff. We can rest assured in the truth that we are saved from sin and we are saved from death. King David writes in Psalm 51, "Restore in me the joy of your salvation." With the helmet of salvation, we can be filled with joy that our salvation is assured and secured by what Jesus has done for us in his death and resurrection. So that, the helmet of salvation. And then finally, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. As we saw earlier, Jesus responded to the devil with God's word. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the word of God will come from our mouths. Jesus said to his disciples, "When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, or authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." And this is similar to what Paul says at the end of the passage. He prayed that words would be given to him so that he could fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And when the Holy Spirit came to the early church, the word of God spread with power. So let's step out with boldness and with the power of the Holy Spirit to declare God's word. When we step out filled with the Spirit, often God will give us words to say to people. We might not even know what we're going to say, but I just encourage you. Just maybe it's just encouraging a friend. Maybe it's just sharing to someone that God loves them if they're really struggling. And these small things, our words have power. This is our offensive weapon against the enemy, is the words that we speak over people, that we can speak God's word when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Final bit of this passage says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." our prayers have such power. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. And when we hear someone struggling, let's pray for them. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering. And there are different resources. I found Open Doors really helpful to help us to pray for our brothers and sisters. So as I finish, I just want to encourage you guys to put on this armor. Every day I put on the armor of God, and I honestly think it makes a huge difference when we armor ourselves up. Because when we do these things, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we know God's salvation, when we know God's truth, his peace, his gospel, we can live lives of victory, and we can gain ground for the kingdom of God in Richmond. We can gain ground for the kingdom of God in our workplace. So I'm just going to pray. Pray now that the Holy Spirit will come so that we can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, so that we can live in victory. So, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit now. We welcome you to come and fill us. We thank you, Lord, that it's your empowering presence that enables us to walk in victory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we do not need to be afraid anymore. And I just break any fear over any one of us in Jesus' name right now. And I break any lies of condemnation in Jesus' name. And I just speak freedom over us, over HDR, over every member, that we will walk in victory, that we will bring the gospel of peace into this world. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you now, Lord. Come, have your way, Lord. Come, Jesus.